Hello, hello, hello.
Good morning.
Buenos días. This is your host, Isela Martin.
And your co-host, Gabriela Fernandez.
And this is La Hora with Isela.
Y Gabriela.
On KVON 1440 AM. And of course, we're live streaming on KVON.com. Instagram is on. Facebook Live is on. So what are you waiting for to start listening to us?
Yes, we are live. Go ahead and head to La Hora 1440 KVON, La Hora 1440 KVON. Tune in. If you're not near your car listening to us on your radio, we have plenty of other ways you can listen to us.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so I got the chills just thinking about today's show. We have three amazing guests coming into the studio on our segundo segmento. They are from the Napa County Hispanic Network. Whoop. They're going to kick us off for Latino Heritage. I'm really, really excited. I mean, we got so many events. It's crazy.
Yes.
And because there's so many, we'll probably mention some throughout the conversaciones and, you know, for, you know, ending our show with events that are coming up. And then maybe the other half, we'll talk about that at the very end. Like maybe cada semana, we'll be updating them.
So. But if you didn't hear it, like we said, Latino Heritage Month, that's what we're kicking off. I'm so excited because this is our people's.
Yes. And it is. I'm really excited. I told myself every single week, well, and it doesn't have to be every single week, but every Thursday, I'm going to try and show up with some little, you know, some Latino-inspired earrings. So this morning, no one can see me, but they're like hecka big.
I love
their size.
They look super cool.
And they're underneath my little cool little earmuffs I'm wearing today. But anyway, oh my God, like I said, we have a great show. The kickoff of Latino Heritage, and you know what? They actually told me to make a correction. Even though it's Latino Heritage, we're actually going to, or Latino Heritage Month, we're actually going to go into just Latino Heritage because we're going past the month.
I know.
We're going 3 months strong.
Just like the way Latinos do, we keep the party going.
I know.
I was on my Instagram story sharing it, telling everyone to tune in and be like, we're kicking off Latino Heritage Month. And I was like, more like months, because let's be real, this is going all the way through November.
Right. I know. This is like, no, I'm sorry. We're going into your Thanksgiving, maybe December. Because it's funny, because once we're done with all these events, then we go into Christmas. And it was like, oh my gosh, we started this off in September. So there's plenty of things to do. And if I don't see you at one of these events, it's going to be like, really? You are just ignoring us.
Yes, especially because some of these are gratis. Hello.
I know. Sea, free. We love gratis. We
I know. Love gratis. We're trying to make you come out, so you better show up. Show your face.
So how was your day? How's your week? How's everything going, Gabriela?
The week's been really good.
I know last week was like, but then it came to like a crashing stop.
I know. And then I got sick, and then there's just so many things. I'm like currently trying to get over a cold. So if I sound a little weird, that's why.
Ahí viene la temporada de los resfriados.
I know. We have a 7-year-old at our home that's also sick, and I'm like, oh, yep, it's back to school season. That's how you know, because once all the kids get sick, everyone in your household gets sick. So it's a little funny, but I don't know, excited, you know, with... I was excited to see that Nike released that Colin Kaepernick ad. I know we have planned to talk about it some more here, but you know, when you're constantly, I know we talked about this earlier, when we're constantly waking up to just like crap every day through the news outlets and just, you know, what's going on in the White House and all this other stuff. It's so overwhelming psychologically, mentally, emotionally.
Right.
That it was kind of nice to just see a little bit of disruption through all of that and to have people talking about something else. So I like that.
Yes. And there's like so many pros and there's a couple of cons for me. But that's something that we're going to discuss throughout the first segment. Yesterday, and before we jump into the first segment, I know there was an incident that happened in American Canyon that really concerned everyone.
Yeah.
Yes. Everyone was getting push notifications from Nixle. And I think that's... Before I jump into that topic, I think that I'm really, really proud of our county and the communication system. But yes, there was an overload of information. I think that, you know, school district wide, I think everyone got the message where it should have been American Canyon only receiving that message. On the Nixle, that's fine, county wide. But school district wide, yes, it would affect those families and stuff like that.
I received it through the register, so I was just happy that the register was staying on top of it, you know.
So it was the register, it was Nixle. It was like, I think we're just like on heightened alert. Like, we just need to get the information. It doesn't even matter how or when, if we kind of do it overload. And that's fine.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, sometimes if you only read half a text and you're in a meeting, you're like, what just happened? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, yes, there was an incident in American Canyon. Please follow the register for information, and those should keep you posted about. And it wasn't on campus. This was actually students that were affected by something that an incident that happened off campus during their lunch hour. And I believe that they did capture whoever was at cargo of all that mishappening in American Canyon. So it's very, very tragic. And for those affected, because I do know that they went to the hospital. And so my prayers to them. And I hope the family, I mean, because un susto de esos, like, who gets over that?
No.
I'm like, exactly. You send your kid off to school and that's what you expect. And I think we went into this conversation when we were going through like all the gun advocacy and stuff. So much love to American Canyon. Los queremos mucho. And hang in there.
Yeah, especially the students. You know, it's a sour way to start your school year. But, hey, we can only go up from here. And it's good to remain hopeful and to know that, you know, everybody has each other's backs.
Okay, so we're going to jumpstart into the first segment. And we were talking about Kaepernick and the new Nike ad. And so there was a couple questions that we have put out here. And you're more than welcome to either on Facebook or on Instagram to send a, you know, private message and let us know how you feel about it.
Yeah, chime in.
So, like, go ahead, and Gabriela, I'll let you kick off this segment, though.
I don't know. I totally understand your pros and cons thing. I think for me, it was just like I've had a lot of up and down mixed emotional feelings when it comes to Nike, just in terms of like them being like an ethical company and things like that. Just because you're always hearing about, you know, sweatshops and whatnot. And, you know, I think that in itself, we also need to become more educated in terms of, okay, like, what does that look like in terms of when you cross cultural boundaries and lines and, you know, certain labor laws that they have abroad. But beyond that, you know, we're here to focus on their ad with Colin Kaepernick. And for me, I actually just watched a video. My coworker Catherine pointed it out to me. It was from a guy. His name is Beto O'Rourke. I hope I pronounced his name right. He's actually running against Ted Cruz for the Senate seat. And he was in a video where somebody asked him, you know, what he thought about it. And I'm just going to read the quote real quick because I think he put it best. And what he said actually encompassed my exact feelings towards the ad. So it said, "The freedoms that we have were purchased not just by those in uniform." Because again, a lot of people are saying, you know, it's disrespectful to the men and women who have served this country. And so here he is saying that the freedoms that we have were purchased not just by those in uniform, because they definitely were, but also by those who took their lives into their own hands by riding Greyhound buses, the Freedom Riders in the Deep South in the 60s, Martin Luther King, Dr. King, of course, you know, leading the civil rights movement in a peaceful protest, who knew in full that they were going to be arrested, serving time in the Mississippi State Penitentiary, Rosa Parks getting from the back of the bus to the front of the bus. You know, likewise, all of that, taking a knee at a football game is a way to peacefully point out, you know, that black men, unarmed black teenagers, unarmed black children are just being killed at a frightening level, including by members of law enforcement without accountability and without justice. And so he was saying that he could think of nothing more American than to peacefully stand up or take a knee for your rights anytime, anywhere, any place. And for me, I just thought it was so great that for their Just Do It campaign, they chose a face of somebody that unfortunately has had his entire life and career stripped away from him for literally doing exactly that, which is just peacefully protesting. You know, and oftentimes the conversation is, okay, well, what should that look like then? And people are saying that they're bothered by the fact that he's taking a knee to the national anthem, and they're like, there needs to be another way. Well, what does that other way look like? You know, right. Is it like a convenience thing? Like, I don't want to see you doing it in front of my face. I'm here to watch the football game. Well, guess what? These things are happening whether you want to acknowledge them or not. And me peacefully protesting at a time where the entire world is watching when they're watching a football game, like, it's because I need to get this in your face and I need you to acknowledge it and see it. And so in a sense, it's disruptive to me, but disruptive in a way that's constructive. active? Like, at what other point are you going to get someone to notice? I don't know. I just thought it was really powerful. And they have a whole ad and commercial that goes with it, which they actually just, NBC just confirmed that Nike purchased airtime on Thursday Night Football to air that ad. And I just think it's so hilarious because it's like, the NFL can try to, it's very tactful, of course. And it's like, here's the NFL, you know, thinking that they won or whatever you want to call it. And they have this 10-year contract that they just signed with Nike, and Nike turns right around and is like, we'll honor the contract, but, you know, we're going to be right here sticking by our side with Colin Kaepernick, and you've kind of ousted him from your little group, but, you know, we're over here saying, nah, man, like, keep on going. Like, you're standing up for, you know, racial equality, social equality, and it's done peacefully. Like, how else do you do that? You know, what other means do people need to have their voice? So he's just using his First Amendment, you know, right.
Right. I thought he did that very peacefully. I do have my opinion. So in reading the story of how this all came about, how he was sitting, and then how it was kind of disrespectful him just sitting, and I think no one ever even noticed that he was sitting. And then it wasn't until someone that was actually in the military that told him, hey, you know what, as a sign of peace, as a sign of prayer, you know, you should take a knee, because it's out of respect. So you really think about, don't think about what he did. Think about, like, when you... when someone's injured out on the field, if someone has passed, you take a knee. And so it's a sign of peace. And so for me, it was okay. But then at the same time, yes, I will admit I jumped on the bandwagon. Oh my gosh, why is he doing this? I did jump on that bandwagon, and I am guilty to it. But then when I started reading his story and the reason why, because it's easy to judge, then I started getting into the weeds of it all. So it was really nice, because, like he said, that he had seen circumstances where men and women of military have fought for this country, and how they've actually been discriminated against, or they are on disability, you know, they don't get those benefits. He has personal experience. What I'm not okay with was the part where he was talking about being a cop and having only 6 months experience, and how, you know, someone with a curling iron getting their cosmetology license would have the same amount of training as a police officer, and that is definitely untrue. And so for me, it was really hard. I have friends. I have family. Hell, I depend on 911 every time I pick up that phone to save my life, or save your life, for that matter. And so for us to just say something or a comment like that, I mean, I see the hard hours that, you know, our law enforcement puts in. And so at the end of the day, I'm not okay with that. I'm okay with him saying that, yes, there is police brutality. But for one, I'm not going to...
group them all together.
I'm not going to group them all together like, oh, the police brutality. Why don't we call out that guy or that woman, whoever was culpable in that sense, and culparlos that way, or judge them that way, and with the facts. But when we are holding the entire police department accountable, and where we have right now, we're having this huge disrespect for our law enforcement. It's unbelievable. Like, people are not respecting, like, hey, you're, you know, pulling over, and why are you pulling them all over? I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. And I'm like, well, you know, we got to be held accountable for certain things that we're doing wrong. But at the end of the day, I think, like, you just have to be really, really careful how you say things and what the perception of everyone is, because now there is a big, huge disrespect. It's a climate for me. I'm hanging on a prayer every single night that my man is going to come home safe. You know what I mean? And he's one of those cops that is like the good cop, you know? Right. Oh, you got to take, oh, okay, maybe, okay, next time or something. I'm just speaking for him. I don't know if that's true or not. But to me, that's the kind of person that he is, personality-wise.
Because it's your perception of him. Right.
But the moment that there's these guys that use authority as kind of a fear tactic, or there are people that are just completely disrespectful to others, or there is a racial profile, yeah, I have an issue with that. I get racial profiled all the time.
Right.
Hey, I get profiled for being chubby.
That's a conversation for another day.
I put my 2 cents in there this morning. But anyway, you know, it's just, it's kind of like those things that you ask yourself, why is this happening? Okay, he was tired of the system. Someone has to do something, you know
right.
what I mean?
Right, and I think what I respect, I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off. What I respect from that is, not only was he tired of the system, he recognized he had a platform to do something about it that would actually get people to notice and start talking about it. And I think that that's something that's super important to acknowledge is when you're in a position of power, and some people might be like, football players don't have any power. The fact that there's millions of people that follow you and are invested in your life and what you're doing, you are an influence.
Yes.
Whether that's a job you wanted to take on or not, like that is now a role that you have. And when you are in a position of power like that, it really warms my heart and it makes me happy and proud to see when people use it to bring about change or to bring about a conversation where they're like, hey, this and this is happening. We need to talk about it. And that they're standing up for something.
Right. I mean, I like you. I mean, for this campaign with Nike, you know, to each their own. I can't tell you who Nike should use as, you know, the face of them for, you know, whatever is going on. I cannot say that. But I am going to say this, that I did not appreciate everybody else that jumped on the bandwagon when they actually abandoned Kaepernick's for this whole time. Since he took the knee, since whatever, and then all of a sudden, oh, I knew that's why I should have stuck by Nike. Or, heck yeah, I'm supporting,
that
you know,
was annoying.
Kaepernick.
Yes.
And I'm sitting here, I'm like, delete. It's like anything. It's like Warriors. How many people jumped on the bandwagon when they started winning?
I know. And then now that LeBron's in LA, they're just like, oh, I'm back to being a Laker fan. I'm like, everybody's fake.
Right. I've been an Oakland A's fan, and you know how many times people have told me that, oh, you need to abandon that ship. Abandon it. And look how good they're doing. You know what I mean?
It's no, but you have a point. You have a point. Because when he first started taking a knee, no one backed him up. It's like everybody just allowed him to sink, to become that player that, you know, it now can't play simply because he decided to take a knee. And everyone was like, oh, Cap's, you know, like, wrong place, wrong time. Like, it's inconvenient. Like, okay, well, when's convenient? Like, there's never going to be a convenient time. And now just because Nike, this huge
brand. I'll say a word
brand,
in Spanish that my mom would say. And sorry for interrupting. Conveniencia. Por conveniencia, that's when it's like, it's cool. I've always supported. I'm like, no, you didn't.
No.
No, you did not.
No. Yeah.
So anyway, I know we got to cut this short because we have so many things to talk about. We're already, 25 minutes into the show. Se nos escapa entre las manos, te digo.
Yeah. So if you have thoughts on that, I'd be super curious to know what you think. Definitely be sure to DM us, slide through our DMs on Instagram or Facebook. Let's get a conversation going because that's a really, really good topic to be addressing right now.
It is. So if you missed out on the first part of our show, we wanted to let you know that we have in our studio, we have the Napa County Hispanic Network.
Whoop, whoop.
Yes, we do. And they are kicking us off for Latino, La Herencia Latina, which is September, October, y Noviembre. Yes, you heard 3 months of fiesta.
Oh, yeah. Okay, Latinos do it best.
So we do have a couple of guests here. So please stay tuned. If you missed out, this is La Hora with Isela
y Gabriela
on 1440 AM. Stay tuned. Hola, hola. Welcome back.
Welcome back, back, back.
If you're just tuning in, this is La Hora with Isela
y Gabriela
on 1440 AM. And as always, tenemos una página de Instagram. And that is at La Hora 1440 KVON.
La Hora 1440 KVON.
So, estamos en nuestro segundo segmento of conversaciones, and we have, wait for it, Napa Hispanic Network and Subcommittee Latino Heritage.
It's a packed house in the studio. So excited.
I know, I'm going to make a reference.
Bienvenidas. Bienvenidas.
Ya sé cómo se sienten los tamalitos en la olla. Really, really, really calentito aquí dentro del estudio. But you know what? That's because hot Latinas are in the building. There we go.
There you go.
All right. So the reason why I'm so excited is because we are kicking off Latino Heritage. We had put month, but we know that this is not Latino Heritage Month. Debbie and is one of our one of our guests. And we'd like her to tell us why we're not doing Latino Heritage Month.
Good morning. Good morning. Thanks for having us here.
Of course.
Buenos días a todos. Disculpe por mi español. No es perfecto. Por muchos años tuvimos la mes de gerencia latina, casi seis.
Oh, wow.
And every year we have like 3 months of events. And the Hispanic Network, the Latino Heritage Committee, we don't organize the events ourselves. We promote the events and we encourage others to have more events for Latinos that
That's
celebrate
amazing.
Culture and heritage. So this year, our events that we are promoting span from actually from August 23rd all the way to November 30th. That's one event.
We're partying for the last half of the year.
Yeah. It's a quarter of the year.
Right. Very Latino style.
Right. Yeah.
And there are truly some awesome family events. Por ejemplo, la fiesta anual del El Molino Bale. It's at the Bale Grist Mill, el 15 de septiembre, mm-hmm. a la mediodía a las 5 en la tarde, and it's mariachi, this event, it's music rancho, there's Mexican food, crafts, all kinds of things, dancing, totally family event, and it's a first time they're bringing people into the park for a Mexican fiesta.
That is so cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, as soon as I saw that, I was just like, I'm
and
going to
tour.
That.
You get to tour the old mill, right?
That's right. You can
That's
watch them,
awesome.
You know, making flour, and you can buy some. And Coco is going to be in the park in Yountville.
Coco's in the building.
28th of September. Again, a free event with Tacos El Muchacho Alegre.
Yum.
Se Venta Tacos.
And I think
laughing. Music before.
I know. Yeah, we start talking this early. We don't have breakfast when we come in, so we're always like,
we're always so hungry by the time we're here in the studio. Yeah. No, but there is going to be music, and I think Isela and I are actually going to be emceeing
possibly.
The event. Possibly.
Yeah. Possibly.
Possibly.
We'll make a surprise.
A surprise appearance.
Right. Surprise. ¿Y estas quién son?
Surprise.
So, who are they?
There's also a lot of music, Latin nights in the clubs. There are just three different exhibitions of art, that are Latino-centric, and other special events, and we're still putting them into the calendar. Entonces, este fin de semana, a la fin de la fin de semana, check our nuestros calendarios a Napa Valley Hoy en Español .org u Napa Valley Now .org.
.org. Love it.
So they're not all in there yet. So just be a little patient. And if anyone wants to help put them in the computer, we are always looking for new committee
members. We're
looking
for volunteers.
To post to the community. It's super fun. And the computer part is super fun because it's with me.
Yeah. So now that I kind of wanted to get that out of the way about Latino heritage, why we call it month. And I mean
months.
And not month. But I'd love to know more about, well, I know who you guys are, but I would like the community to know more about Napa Hispanic Network, where you guys started, where you guys are at, and where we look to see Napa County Hispanic Network going in the future.
Thank you very much, Bill. I'm Teresa Foster, and I've been with the Napa County Hispanic Network for the last years.
She's like, ¿cuántos años, eh?
No. The Napa County Hispanic Network started as a let's have lunch. Oh, wow. So a group of, Latinos like Hope Lugo, Terry Longoria, Gerardo Perez, Virginia Romero, Leon Garcia, Tala de Winter, Hector Brambila, Ana Palacios, Roberto Garcia, Gloria Flores, and Hilda Villegas, and more. They just have this vision that we need, people to really know each other, mm-hmm. and how we can help and connect each other and help each other. So 35 years, they started, and then 1 year after, they decided that education was very important. And they started with one event who raised $500 and give a scholarship of $100. So it was so good to see that Latino students now, when I started with them in 1990, there was a percentage in the Napa College about probably 2%, 3%, a lot of dropouts from high school, mm-hmm. and we made our mission to let these students to be more than they just came for.
Right. Yeah.
So now our past president, Maria Cisneros, is going to be talking about what else can we do to help these students.
Talk about putting you on the spot.
Well, as she says, Maria Cisneros, I have been with the network also with, you know, a long time. I started out, our superintendent, when I first came to the Napa Valley, asked me to serve as the representative from the school district. And I fell in love with this mission and have been an active participant ever since. And so it's been a pleasure to serve on all of the positions of the executive board, and now I have the title of past president, which is kind of nice because I can sit back and watch a little. But in terms of the students, you know, when I came to the Napa Valley, it was a time when I think the Latino population was just exploding.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so our students were graduating from high school, but there was not a sense of urgency around continuing the education. Mm-hmm. It was like, mm-hmm. es suficiente tener el diploma de high school, yeah. and that's it. Now I'll trabajar.
Porque ya ese yeah. punto ya era más de lo que nuestros papás yeah. habían hecho. Yeah. Yeah. So it's kind of like, you're done, now yeah. help me with get bills and right. get to work.
Get to work. You know, like, venimos a trabajar. You know, it was that kind of the mentality. So through the work of the network, we helped families understand a little bit more about what it means to be educated, mm-hmm. and what it means to really have that American dream, right? Yeah. I use my story all the time because, you know, my family moved here because, you know, for that, you know, chasing that American dream, and being a not just Latina, but being a female, you know, in a very traditional house, mm-hmm. it was like, ¿cómo que vas a ir al colegio? ¿Cómo? It wasn't even about ¿cómo que vas a ir al colegio? ¿Cómo que te vas a ir de la casa?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Leaving the house? No, your job is to exactly. stay here yeah. and yeah. to cook yeah. and clean.
Until
and
you
yeah. And you know, yeah. And you know what, though? You know, after I matured more, you know, beyond my high school years, I realized that our families is not about not really wanting us to get an education, is they don't understand the system.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. They don't trust the system. So when you don't know something or someone, you don't trust it mm-hmm. right away. Because it's you can't even imagine what that feels like.
Yeah.
And so that's what I learned about my parents. And that's the story I told our families when I was working at I still work at the high schools, but mm-hmm. that, you know, when I first started getting involved, yes. they're like, you know what, it's not about, you know, us going out there and just going all wild and partying and all those pieces. No, I go, we're actually more restrictive, you know, in yes. terms of what we need to do because we're on our own now. But it's really about carrying that mission of why we came to the United States,
mm-hmm.
right? Is we oh, yeah. want to fulfill that dream, that sacrifice that we left our
100%.
Country to not just be better individuals and have opportunities, but to be able to provide beyond, you know, the just the necessities, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And be okay and be comfortable with that. I know some of us will never be rich, you know, but we're rich with the richness of our culture, of yes. our families, mm-hmm. of knowledge, yes. and the ability to serve, to yes. give back, right?
Yes.
And so that's what we do as a network. And our students, we've passed $500,000 in donations. Yeah. So
that's amazing.
Yeah. We're excited, you know.
Did you guys just hear that? $500,000.
Yes. Serving over 500 kids, yes. You know, throughout the Napa Valley. Now they're working in our community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you'll get to hear some of them speak, you know,
yes,
over
that
at that day. I believe you're speaking.
I am. Yeah. I'm going to be the speaker. Yeah. So that's very exciting. Yes.
Awesome.
And so, you know, when you're out, you know, we have, you know, from social workers to we have some students that are doctors. We
yes.
have lawyers. You know, you name it, they're out there,
yeah.
the producers.
Yes.
You know, talk about the movie.
Pixar.
Yeah, talk about the movie Coco.
Yes.
Yeah.
So anyways, so yes. it's always about promoting higher education, but more than anything, I think for us in terms of where we talk about the La Herencia Latina, right, is fulfilling that dream yeah. behind
yes.
the immigrant,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Porque
yeah.
el sueño del inmigrante is, you know, prepararte, seguir adelante, mm-hmm. right? Because we are hardworking people. No matter who you are, where
exactly.
you come from, we're hardworking
yeah.
people.
Yes.
And that's what we're here to do.
And I think, mm-hmm. go ahead.
And we come to this wonderful, you know, country that we call home.
Mm-hmm.
And we are all here for the same reason.
Yeah.
We
mm-hmm.
want to really, you know, fulfill our dreams. As Maria said, doesn't matter where you come from. We want to be here and do the best.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When people talk about their dreams and or dicen que hay que llegar a una meta, that comes in
in all shapes and sizes. Yes. And yeah. I mean, fulfilling a dream could just be, you know, acabando la high school, because yeah. they want to fulfill that dream for their parents because they knew that their parents didn't get a higher education. Yes. Mm-hmm. Something that I learned like not too long ago throughout the transition of, you know, school board and running for that campaign was that my father was a teacher, and he never mentioned that to me at all growing up. And so it touches a soft spot. He said, okay, you know, he would teach, you know, elementary school kids, and he wanted to be a teacher, but then baseball got in the way, so he followed baseball. And because it was a thing of his town and he was so good at it,
yes.
That right at the finish line, por envidia, you know, someone didn't allow him to leave to a professional baseball team.
Wow.
So he didn't get any of the two things that he wanted to do. So coming here to the States, that was one of his dreams, is just kind of being successful. Mm-hmm. Whether or not it was in baseball or in education, was through his eyes, he saw having all of us have some kind of education was an accomplishment.
Mm-hmm. And that's what a lot of parents, you know, are here for. Said, I came here, you know, across the border, my kids have to do more.
And yes.
That's our mission, you know, to help the parents to understand the system and to let them know that, yes, we are on your back. And a lot of these students are like, I'm here and I'm coming back. So yeah. That's very good. So the event.
Yes, let's talk about
All right. So no buying tickets same day of.
No.
It doesn't look like it. We're counting. We're checking twice or three times. But the event's on the 14th of September.
Friday.
Next Friday.
Yeah.
And we're absolutely still accepting donations.
Yes.
That's awesome.
And, or if you really wanted to be there, maybe you call us and volunteer and be a part of our network.
Right.
And that's what we're about. It's
man, great. You know, can be that because I've signed up to be a volunteer because I want to be at an event. So if that's the way to get in and join the party, es como yes. uno dice, see, if you want a piece of it, you got to set yourself in uncomfortable places. So I'm going to volunteer.
Well,
yes.
That's a good point. And I have to say, I didn't introduce myself fully. I'm a board member. My name is Debbie Alterstar. And I remember about 10 years ago, I was there, whatever it was, it might have been more, thinking, okay, maybe my Spanish is almost okay enough that I would understand what the heck's going on and go to a Hispanic network meeting, which at that time were monthly. So I went, and lo and behold, the meetings were in English, and I stayed ever since. So, you know, I've made some horrendous errors in Spanish over the last several years here.
I know,
but
that's fine,
you're
because you want to know
so
what I admire
much.
Is that you practice it.
That's what.
And
yes.
I think we need to be more inclusive and accepting.
Right.
When people are trying to understand your culture and they put in that effort, it bothers me so bad when people are like, oh, why is she even trying? She's butchering the whole thing. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, why not be accepting and loving and be like, hey, thank you for trying to understand my culture,
right.
You know?
And most people are appreciative if you show up and you do the work and you keep showing up. We all know who's committed.
Right.
But something funny, one time I was curious, and people are really nice actually because I'm trying, and one time I said, well, what does it sound like? Does it sound charming when I slaughter Spanish with my cheesy accent? And she said, oh, yeah, it sounds like you're like a valley girl. And I was like,
but you are a valley. You say, I'm a Napa Valley girl.
But you don't have to be Latino to be part of this organization.
No.
And this is what our community needs. All of us coming together and helping each other.
Yep. Yes.
And being here 35 years.
Place.
You know, 35 years.
As far as I know,
yes.
We are the oldest nonprofit Latino organization in the Napa Valley.
Yes.
In 35 years. The boards are all volunteers.
Yes,
that's
and we
amazing.
We all have full-time jobs, or you know, have you know commitments that pulled us from our families and other you know things that we have
everything
to
else
do,
in
everything
life,
else
yeah.
in life. And so, for this, I think that for this organization to be around for such a long time, it's really a testament not just to the board, but to the community itself
and the dedication that each one of you
guys have given this organization.
But we can't do it without our sponsors.
Exactly.
I mean, people people in the community.
Very yeah, generous. We do. You know, we have Jackie and George Altamura. They've been there from day one. You know, they're always, always helping us. They really, you know, Altamura comes and said, yes, give me 5, give me 10, give me, how many students do you have? So it's Bottle Rock, Latitude 38, you know. Okay. That we'll have a live auction there.
We will have a live auction.
Oh, so they really helped us kick our game up last year. I think we made the most money we ever had at our fund-a-need.
Yes. You know, PG&E, Alcar Services, there is a lot of them. Do you want to mention some others, Maria, of our sponsors?
Well, there's Justin. Yeah.
Well, there's Queen of the Valley Medical Center.
Yes, Queen of the Valley. So
Mechanics Bank.
Mm-hmm.
The Marketplace Magazine always helps with the promotion. You know, we have
Napa Register.
Napa Register has been supporting us for as long as I can remember. Napa for Lincoln, always such gracious.
Alcar Human Resources is one of our biggest sponsors, and this year they're also donating staff time.
Yes.
Wow, that's amazing. For the gala?
Yes.
Oh, that's fantastic.
PG&E, also Pacific Gas and Electric, has been a very great supporter every year for a number of years.
Yes. So, you know, you are just wondering, okay, where this money goes to. Well, this money goes to 2019, and we hope, you know, that those students that will apply in 2019, you know, we can have the funds to really either continue their education, that's our goal in one year, or give more scholarships to these students.
That's amazing.
And to close this off, and I'm sorry, when you have fun, time really, really does fly. But how many students do you think you will, reach out to? Let's be really hopeful and, gosh.
I mean, on all these 35 years?
Yeah.
Oh, probably around 500, you will say?
Well, we've given to 500. In terms of the applications, we have about 100 applicants per year.
Wow. So, for 35 years?
So I don't know if it's been the 35 years, but I know I've been involved for over 24. and it's always been about 100 kids that apply for the scholarship.
That's amazing. That's great.
Mm-hmm. Again, you know, our funds can't reach every single applicant.
Right.
But it's specifically this year, I mean, we really are going to go, after the fund in need too, just to continue to help and support our families. This particular class this year, a lot of our kids are coming from single-parent homes, and they're living with incomes between $14,000 to $42,000 a year.
In Napa.
So how do you survive on incomes like that?
And
have kids that want to go
to college to pursue an education.
But if they want more information, they can go to?
For more information, go to Napa. CanadaHispanicNetwork.org, and you'll find more information not just on the event but also in all the events for Latino
heritage.
And again, you know, check your websites, find out where the events are, come out, support the events, because we put them on to celebrate, to showcase, to have, you know, to enjoy and learn about
everything beautiful.
Who doesn't want 3 meses de celebración?
I know.
and I'm going to go home and put up a Facebook event for the network for the gala. And maybe Isela and Gabriela, you'd help us promote it.
Sure,
and let's see
of
if
course.
Our community can raise another $2,000.
Yeah, I love that. I think we can do more.
These kids. Yeah. I think we can too.
Yeah.
Si se puede, huh?
Si se puede. Come on, Napa County. Stand
we
up.
We can surprise maybe some kids that weren't awarded and say, guess what?
There you go. Maybe we need to start a GoFundMe page for everyone that follows us from Ireland or other parts of the world.
Yeah.
Go to the GoFundMe page.
Yes, why not?
Well, if you're just tuning in, you guys really did miss an awesome segmento of Conversaciones. This is your host, Isela Martin.
And your co-host, Gabriela Fernandez.
On La Hora with Isela.
Y Gabriela.
On 1440 AM. So please stay tuned. We're going to briefly go through some events that are happening to celebrate Latino heritage. Welcome back.
Bienvenidos. I know that was
very, really, really short commercial break, right?
I think the shortest ever
in history for our radio show.
But that's because we have that many events to get through.
You guys can see that on Facebook. The list just goes on and on and on. So anyway, to kick off our event, so we did talk about the opening reception for Perspectivas de la Vida.
Mm-hmm.
It is at the gallery at the Community Center, 6516 Washington Street, Yountville. So if you want more information, please go to YVILLEArts.com.
There you go. September 1st through the 30th is going to be the Exhibición de Arte.
Nope.
No?
This one.
Exhibición de fotos. I'm sorry. Trayectos Extraordinarios with Israel Valencia. So, Profundo Observer, Deep Observer, Fotógrafo Latinoamericano. The reception is going to be Thursday, September 20th from 7 to 8 at the Napa County Library, 580 Coombe Street in Napa. The event is free. Gratis, gratis, gratis.
So, that exhibit starts from September 1st to the 30th, but the reception will be on the 20th.
Right.
So, it's already on display at the library. So, September 14th, I'm sorry, sold out event. We're not even going to talk about it. We're just going to tell you, you guys are going to miss out. Napa County Hispanic Network 35th Annual Scholarship Gala. So, didn't get your tickets. Too late.
Too late. You can't hear me give a speech.
You're going to miss out.
Yes, they are. And then September 15th, the annual fiesta, the Mexican fiesta that they're going to be having at the Old Bale Mill. It is a completely free event, gratis. So there's going to be mariachi and rancho music, dancers, food and beverages, craft activities for all ages. So kids are totally welcome. They're even going to be giving tours of the mill, educational health and community awareness exhibits. It is the first time that they're doing it. It's from 12 to 5 p.m. That's at 3315 St. Helena Highway at the Old Bale Mill. I'm super excited just because I get to go to a baile that's right here in my town. I get to put on my boots, my tejana. It's about to be a fiesta.
There you go.
And it's the day after the gala, so I get to keep my celebration going all through the weekend.
So there is going to be, I'm going to announce the last event for now. So November 3rd and 4th, there's going to be Day of the Dead in Napa. There's room for 25 altares. So if you are interested in having your own altar, first come, first serve, you need to get more information and you need to call Juan Diaz at 707-337-2971. So again, if you want your Day of the Dead altar expuesto, please call Juan Diaz again at 707-337-2971.
Super exciting.
Yes, we have so many events. Oh, and I have to say this one. September 10th, which is just around the corner, 4th Annual Sabores de Wine Country Latino Food and Wine Festival. It is Monday, September 10th at 5:30 to 8:30. It will be at Luther Burbank Center for the Arts. It is hosted by Wine Country Latino Food and Wine Festival. Tickets are Sabores de Wine Country 2018.eventbrite.com. Whoop, whoop. Oh, my God.
$20,
$20.
And then just one more for the month of September. We heard it mention us mention it earlier. Coco. It's going to be a movie in the park with Tacos El Muchacho Alegre. They're going to be giving out tacos for sale. There's going to be some music before the movie. That's at 2900 Lincoln Avenue in Yountville. It is a free event. Again, tacos for purchase. But the event itself, the movie showing, is free in Yountville, 6:30 p.m. Friday, September 28th.
So we won't forget, I did want to tell you about, I know that we're just talking about Latino, Latino, Latino. There is that September 21st, Aldea's third annual suicide prevention conference. It's been airing on our show. There is some airtime on there on our commercial. It's Friday, September 21st at the Meritage Resort and Spa. I believe it's going to start at 8:30 in the morning. So make sure you get your tickets and your spot. Tickets, you can purchase them at CourageVillage.org. So make sure you get your tickets for that. Also, for all these Latino events that you just heard, you can look at the calendar that will be updated this weekend, NapaHispanicNetwork.org or NapaValleyNow.org or NapaValleyHoyEnEspañol.org. So NapaValleyHoy.org. So
O-R-G.
O-R-G.
Punto O-R-G.
So it's, man, I feel like we're like go.
I know. I feel like the next couple of Thursday shows for the next couple of months actually are going to
So we have a full house. So what we did is we reached out to the community. We asked people to nominate, you know, maybe a person or to nominate an association that's bringing it to the community. And so we really got
bringing it back to you full circle.
Yes. And so really we do have We have a full calendar for September, and October as we speak is getting full. So get in your nominations, DM us, and let us know. It is not guaranteed airtime, but it is on a first-come, first-served basis. So thank you so much. This was your host, Isela Martin.
And your co-host, Gabriela Fernandez.
This was La Hora con Isela.
Y Gabriela.
On 1440 AM. Hasta la próxima.
Hasta la próxima. Yeah.